Okay. Morning, everybody. Let's take a moment just to kind of tune into our connection with one another. You might say our connection with all beings who are doing similar kind of work, stretching, growing, raising the vibration. Course in Miracles put it very simply when it said, "How can I see this differently? Whatever it is, whether it's the face looking back at us through the mirror, whether it's someone we're judging, or if we're getting a sense of being judged ourselves, beating ourselves up for some reason or another, how can I see this differently?" And knowing that seeing things differently, including ourselves, is always a choice. It's not an emotional choice. It's not an intellectual choice. It's a spiritual choice. So the choice we make on a level of spirituality might not change our emotions right away. Don't expect that to happen. Be nice if it did, but it doesn't. Deep breath. Open your eyes if you need to. Want to tie up a piece from our last class and then get into today's material. Unless there's anything else somebody wants to say anything about or ask about or yell about or object to. This is a quote from the book. You don't have to go to the book if you want, don't want to, but it says this. And I'm saying this out loud because it seems to be a place that I get stopped in every once in a while. Paul is asking, "Well, if I see someone before me and I don't like them very much, is that my truth?" "That is not your truth," the guide said. "Your decision to judge another is your choice. That is the truth. But you are not perceiving the truth in who that other being is. If you were to perceive that truth, you would identify with them as an aspect of the divine self. There is no one who is born who is not of this vibration." Some quotes we ended up with last week about loving your neighbor from Thomas Merton. "Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. That is not our business. And in fact, it's nobody's business. What we are asked to do is to love. And this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbors worthy." He says also, "The beginning of love is the will to let those we love be perfectly themselves. The resolution not to twist them to fit our own image. If in loving them we do not love what they are, but only their potential likeness to ourselves, then we do not really love them. We only love the reflection of ourselves we find in them." Thich Nhat Hanh stretches a little bit further. If our enemy is cruel, even if he is crushing us, sowing terror and injustice, we have to love him. This is the message of Jesus. Interesting, coming from a Buddhist monk. How can we love our enemy? The only way is to understand them, to understand how he has come to be the way he is. Now, that's not understanding on an intellectual level. But when I sat with that one, I said, you know, I have enough time figuring out what my own karma is. I have enough difficulty figuring out what I'm doing here. I have a difficult enough time knowing what my lesson is at this particular moment. Who the hell am I to judge somebody else's? Especially if they rub me the wrong way. Whenever I make a judgment, I lose something. I lose a bit of myself. My favorite little Zen poem called The Sin Sin Ming starts out by saying, "The great way is not difficult for those who have no opinions." When love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make one distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. Just on a level of personal experience, have you ever had this happen where for no reason that your mind can comprehend, you just feel like your heart opens, you're just grateful, joyful, you know, and that might not have anything to do with anything outside. And instead of enjoying that moment, what my mind does is goes, I wonder what that's doing there. I don't have any reason to feel that way. And of course, bam, the door is shut again. It's so interesting that the way the mind works, it goes, bam, as soon as I make a judgment on you or anybody else, the door closes. Now, our choice is open the door again. I might not be able to change my emotions or my feelings at that particular moment, but I can open the door to loving you again if I choose to.
What page are you on, Jerry? What page are you
on? We're on page 207, down towards the bottom, last paragraph. Now, when you attend to the self as the one climbing the mountain, you will come with some suppositions. I will know myself as I am supposed to know myself. I will know myself as I am supposed to know myself. Earlier, we said you need to welcome the new. This, by the way, this reading this morning is great for New Year's Eve, for the burning bowl ceremony, for changing our thinking, for entering into a new way of thinking. Earlier, we said you need to welcome the new and release the self and put the new shoes on so you may have the new experience of what you see and what may be claimed. We will show you now what may be witnessed from a higher vantage point. You see yourself fighting with your spouse. You see yourself yelling at the child, or praying for companionship, or worrying yourself to death about this or that. It's a real interesting phrase, worrying yourself to death, because you are. Bishop Sheen once said, it's funny, I remember things that I learned when I was about 6 years old. He said, worry is another form of atheism. Isn't that interesting? Worry is another form of atheism. You see yourself rejoicing at a wedding, crying at a funeral. You see yourself attending classes, preparing for your day at work. You see yourself as infirm and getting well. Everything you have known may now be witnessed from a higher vantage point, and here is what you will notice. Nothing is as significant as you first thought it was. I need to print that on my bathroom mirror. Okay. Nothing is as significant as you first thought it was. put a couple of stars on the wall. If you ever had this experience, were you worried about something? You're a human being like me. I'm worried about something. And then something else happens that distracts me from what I'm worried about. And I get into whatever it is, whether it's a piece of poetry, reading a book, fixing a photograph, whatever might happen to me. And I kind of get lost in whatever it is that I'm doing. And I'm finished with that particular task, or that's over for a while. And then there's sort of this blank space. And within this blank space, I say to myself, now what was I so worried about? And in that space, that blank space, nothing is there. For a split second, there's absolutely nothing. What I was worried about, what I was thinking about, what I was concerned about, it's not there. And then, of course, all of a sudden it comes back. I go, oh, there it is again. Good, thank you. Now I know what I was so worried about. But it's so fascinating that in that short space of time, that little piece of awareness, there is absolutely nothing except you and the truth. No worry, no fear, no doubt, no shame, no guilt, no negativity. You're just there. And how difficult it is to just let ourselves be there. That moment, that split second where there's nothing there, that's sort of the essence of who you are. It lets go of all of our attachments for that split second, all of our attachments to what's going on in our mind, in our heart, or what's going on in the outside world. We're just completely present to divine truth, which is absolutely separate from all the other fears and worries we might be attached to. Nothing is significant as you first thought it was. When you rise in perspective, you witness your life as it has been. You are perceiving the self as the small self through her small actions. This is not to discount any of them. We're not throwing these away. That's what I love about this work. It doesn't throw anything away. It doesn't say, oh, that's just an illusion. Don't pay any attention to it. This does not discount any of them. We do not discount who and what you are at that level of agreement. But we do say to you, the vision you hold now of the life you have lived may be very different when you see it from a higher viewpoint. Yeah, Linda? Oh, could you do the talk in the microphone so the people at home can hear you?
Well,
can you guys hear her? Good.
The first sentence of that paragraph, because I revisit my and so on and so forth. So I had the biggest chuckle when I was lying in bed reading it this to myself. And then after a few seconds, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, now wait a minute. I've had many of experiences that I've really worried about where I did have growth. And it was good, and it wasn't all that insignificant. So then as I read further, I saw that they were recognizing
not discounting that.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
I think there are several things that, well, from my own perspective, that I grew and I learned more about myself.
Definitely.
And I'm thankful for those experiences.
I appreciate that, Linda. Thanks for sharing that. See, again, that's another thing I like about this work is that nothing is thrown out and everything has a meaning on some level. The image that I had when I was reading this was, and it kind of fits in with the Christmas season too as well. You could imagine that you're in one of the malls right before Christmas, and it's crazy the energy that's going on. And you're caught in the middle of that. Maybe you're looking for something special for someone you care about. or maybe you're just sort of window shopping or whatever it happens to be, and you just notice all of the kind of the frenetic energy, and you're standing in line wanting a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and you know somebody's asking for a double half calf latte, you know, with caramel icing on it or something, and you're going, well, all I want is a cup of coffee. You know? Then all of a sudden you see there's an elevator. You decide to get on the elevator, and the elevator takes you up to the second floor. And you get out, and there's just a little walkway there. And you get the opportunity to look down all this frenetic activity that you were once a part of. And all of that's still going on, but you are somehow or another apart from that. It's not affecting you like it was when you were in the middle. How can I see this differently? How can I rise above this? How can I change how I think? How can I change how I feel? And what the book is suggesting, and I'm not suggesting this is easy work because I don't think it is. What I'm suggesting is there always is going to be a way to rise above our human emotions or our human judgment. And again, it's not discounting them. What this is suggesting, on a certain level of awareness, that's where you are. And that's what you're identifying. What you identify yourself with is sort of a definition of who you are or how you're seeing yourself at this moment. And it takes work to extricate ourselves from what we are afraid of or what we're worried about or what we're clinging to or what we're making a judgment about. It takes work to be able to do that. And it's not, I need to emphasize, this is my take on it. It's not work on an emotional level. I'm not trying to change how I feel, because that's a whole other mixture of things. How I feel is coming from my emotional self, usually pretty much my small self. And if I just spend, this is just me, you know, might not be your stuff, but if I spend a whole lot of time trying to change how I feel, I get stuck more in the feeling that I'm trying to get rid of. Remember Uncle Remus with the tar baby? If you don't recall, that's an interesting story by itself. Uncle Remus was a character created by a young man whose name was Joel Chandler Harris. He was probably in his 20s or 30s. And he invented Uncle Remus, who was an old black man, who was a storyteller. And the major portion of his stories were about Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit and Brer Bear and a couple of other characters that would show up every once in a while. And this particular story had to do with Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox. Brer Fox was playing a trick on Brer Rabbit. So what he did was he created this tar baby, made this, or clay, made this little statuette out of clay, and started playing ventriloquist with it, started cussing out Brer Rabbit. And Brer Rabbit got really ticked off and decided he was going to show that tar baby, and he went and punched him. And of course, his fist got caught. And he said, well, how do I get out of this? Well, maybe I know what I'll do. I'll put my foot up and I'll push my way out. And of course, his foot got caught. And then he decides he's going to push with his other, and of course, you know, he ends up getting more wrapped up, more trapped than he was to begin with. And for me, that's a perfect example of trying to change how I feel by somehow or another using my intellect or my mind. Changing how I feel is not about changing how I feel so much about, is it about changing my focus on what I'm thinking about or changing my focus on what I'm aware of. So it's kind of shifting gears. How could I see this differently? And don't get into a fight or a struggle with it. Just wait until you can figure out for yourself or decide for yourself how can I be grateful? What is here? Gratitude is such a wonderful gift here. What is here for me to be grateful for? Now, I might not find it in the thing that I'm annoyed at, or the thing that I'm worried about, or the thing that I'm fearful of, but I can find it. There will always, always, always be something in my life to be grateful for. I mean, I can turn on the news and play Ain't It Awful, just like you can, right? And then I start thinking about, God, these poor people. And here I am sitting in my nice warm little house, okay, having a nice hot dinner. And I'm not taking, you see, in the book says, well, don't deny yourself that. Just because someone else is in pain doesn't mean you have to be. So enjoy what you have and certainly be grateful for it, but also recognize that there are those who might not have it as well as you do. And it's not making a judgment on yourself. It's being open to what I can be grateful for in my life, relationship-wise, health-wise, so many different ways. This is not to discount any of them. We do not discount who and what you are at that level of agreement, because it's there. That's who you are at that particular level of understanding of agreement. But we do say to you, the vision you hold now of the life you have lived may be very different when you see it from a higher viewpoint. That's one of the things we get the opportunity to do by doing this work, especially on Sunday morning when we kind of put our energies together. Now, if you invite yourself in this moment to perceive all these things about yourself, your own history, if you like, with the eyes of the Christ, you will illumine them all. You will illumine them all. Here is the teaching. Just think about this in terms of December 31st. Of kind of shifting gears into a new year, or the burning bowl ceremony, which we're going to be involved with in a little bit of time. Whatever I have known myself as, all the things I have worried about and carried hard upon my shoulders, everything I have lifted in joy, both sides, everything I have laughed for and with will now be lifted to the sight of the Christ. I see my history. I see who I have known myself as with the eyes of the Christ. I lift the vision of life that I have lived and attended to with the eyes of the Christ to meet me where I stand on this mountainside. I am perceiving myself now with the love that I hold for all mankind. I do not judge my actions. I do not fault my behavior. I see all I have been with the eyes of the divine. What else is there?
Gary?
Yes.
I was just thinking about when I do discount my feelings when I see somebody, in my first impression or my first thought of that person, it's a judgment. It's a judgment. And instead of discounting myself for that, I just saw in what you're teaching today, what when I have the new learning and message, how to see things differently, that's how growth works. Don't discount myself. It's growth in progress.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, because I think it's tremendously important that we don't judge ourselves for whatever might happen to be. We say, we catch ourselves, we notice what we're doing, say, I don't have to keep doing it this way. I can allow myself to be blessed by a higher vibration.
Jerry.
Yes, John.
So this morning I listened to the last episode of the Bible in a Year with Father Mike. So just a very high level, the energy of the New Testament, with the exception of Revelation, is so very different than the Old Testament in general. There were some books in the Old Testament that had a different energy. The energy of the New Testament is through the eyes of the Christ. Mm-hmm. And some of the stories of what Paul went through and the explanation that is given by Father Mike, that Paul went through and Peter went through and some of the others went through, John. And some of the times that they were arrested, they were beaten, and they were put in prison, and all the things that they went through, but the way in which they responded to those circumstances, and then what happened to them as a result of the outlook that they had, because they looked through the eyes of the Christ. I mean, that's essentially what I'm looking at, the way in which they responded. And then, I mean, at one point, Paul was arrested. He was then put in an apartment for 2 years, and then he preached to the slaves of Caesar. I mean, it's incredible, some of the things that happened, the blessings that occurred, because they were looking through the eyes of the Christ. And so they continued to have blessings. They were released from prison. The prison doors were sprung open. I mean, it's just incredible, some of the blessings that occurred to them in that time and place, because they were looking through the eyes of the Christ. I was just, the spirit of the writings in the New Testament were so uplifting. And so I just had to share that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John. I was blind, but now I see. And you know what? If you're like me, you're going to forget. I'm going to fall back into, or seemingly fall back into blindness again for a while. But I remember Ram Dass saying one time, he said, you know, when you're awake, and I believe all of us are in here, when you're awake, you can never really fall asleep again. You can doze. You can enter into a place of forget. But you're never really going to lose contact with the truth. Never. You're never going to lose contact with your sense of unconditional love. It just can't happen. It can't disappear. If you don't mind, I'd like to just read that prayer again. Here is the teaching. Whatever I have done, whatever I have known myself as, all the things I've worried about and carried hard upon my shoulders, everything I have lifted in joy, everything I have laughed for and with, will now be lifted to the sight of the Christ. I see my history. I see who I have known myself as with the eyes of the Christ. I lift the vision of life I have lived and attended to with the eyes of the Christ to meet me where I stand, meet me where I am. God says, Christ says, Jesus says, I will meet you where you are. You don't have to be any place else. I will meet you where you are. I am perceiving myself now with the love that I hold for all mankind. I do not judge my actions. I do not fault my behavior. I see all I have been with the eyes of the divine. The majesty you see before you now is simply the imprinting of the truth on all you have known. Everything in my life, everything in your life had a purpose, has a purpose. We might not be able to understand that with our intellect, might not be able to understand that on an emotional level, but everything that has occurred in your life and my life has a purpose, has a lesson, has a learning. That in some ways we already set up as part of this lifetime we're living. I believe we created a blueprint for this life before we took physical form. And on that blueprint is a whole bunch of stuff. We said, well, I need to learn that lesson. I need to learn that lesson. I need to take care of that piece of karma. I need to learn that. So everything that occurs for you and me is a blessing. I might not see it right away, but it is. The majesty you see before you now is simply the imprinting of the truth on all you have known. truth. Your perceptions of what you have been in judgment or attributes, ways of claiming a self that were taught to you. As we've said so many times, all these people who told us who we are didn't know who they were. Some of us made choices very early in life of saying, I'm not going to let anybody tell me who I am. I'm not one of those, okay? I kind of got lost in the shuffle of somebody else telling me who I am and believing that was the truth. It took me a long time to work my way through that one. I see the life I have lived with the eyes of the Christ will support you in respecting the self that you have been and knowing in worth what she has known and been able to claim at the levels of consciousness that she has attended to, that he has attended to thus far. I just need to stop for a minute. That sense of silence seems so sacred. And maybe we need to do our meditation piece now rather than at the end. So I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down if you don't mind. And close your eyes if you like. Take a couple of breaths. Let your breathing find its own natural rhythm, its own natural cadence. Notice the beating of your heart. And notice how in this moment of time, your spiritual heart is open. What is your life telling you right now? What is your life telling you right now? How can I express or become more of the truth of who I am. Imagine that inside of you, not just your physical body, but the essence of you, is a light. And it is shining at its own capacity at this moment. You can get a sense of the light and the warmth. And there's a switch inside where you can raise the level of the light. You can turn it up. Notice what that's like. You can turn it up some more. You can turn it up. You can even turn it down a little bit if you want to. Just to get a sense of, hey, almost playfulness. Like playing hide and seek. I can turn the light up. I can turn it down. And what would it be like if you allowed your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body to absorb that light, soak it in like a sponge? So it becomes more and more the truth of who you are. I am the light of the world, Jesus said, and so are you. And then before we close this part of things, to ask yourself, what can I take with me this morning that I know will always be here for me? Notice your heartbeat again. Notice the openness of your heart space. Notice the rhythm of your breathing. You can stretch. Open your eyes when you're ready. We created something there. I can't explain that anymore. Something bigger than my mind. Something bigger than my voice. something bigger than who I thought I was. So thank you. Paul is feeling a presence behind him as he stands on the mountainside, seeing the creations before him, the things he has known himself as. He feels two hands upon his shoulders. And as he feels this, please understand we are with you as well. Right here, right now. We support you now in your awareness. We acknowledge the pain of your loss. We are nodding our head in agreement with your fears. Yes, they have been so. Yes, they have been known by you. They have affected you. Perhaps they have wounded you. And we understand that the life that you have lived thus far has been a challenging one in many ways. But as we see the life you have lived with the eyes of the Christ in tandem with you, we bring light to all that has been you. Imagine now that the vista before you, the life that you have lived thus far, is shining brightly, is being illumined by the Creator to be remade, to be remembered in its highest way, to be claimed anew as one with its source. I see the life I have lived with the eyes of the Christ. I witness the life I have lived in my divine knowing, in my true heritage. I am an aspect of the Creator manifested in form. I am here, I am here, I am here. I am an aspect of the Creator manifested in form. Who do you think you are, young man? I am an aspect of the Creator manifested in form. And see, you always were and always will be. It's not like we're saying something new. Oh, you're this new being that you're different from you thought. The you that you are, the truth of who you are, has always been there. It's been covered up with some stuff. It might have even gotten lost every once in a while. But even in all of our addictions and attachments, we've been trying to touch the light. I really believe that's true. In a screwed up kind of way, but we're trying to touch the light. And hear what we're doing together. And this would be kind of difficult to do all by ourselves. But what we are doing together is allowing one another, including ourselves, to touch and be touched by the light. So I am, you are, a spiritual being having a human experience, but you're also a human being having a spiritual experience. We do not deny either one of those. They're both true. And you don't have to decide which is which, because after a while they get so blended together, it doesn't matter. Does anybody have any closing thoughts? I'm sure you do. You might be keeping them to yourself, which is perfectly fine. Linda.
Well, I just had a thought.
We need your microphone again.
I just had a thought with you making that last sentence or statement. We would have to be here having a human experience, learning, failing, all these things before we could come back again to know what we needed to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So without this human experience, we couldn't go on up and out.
We wouldn't be here unless we were supposed to be here learning something.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just to share a bit of gratitude. And I think due to this work and other things, sometimes I don't think it necessarily, I have to think my way through to create a change or to create that God presence. You know, I've had a lot of difficulty with my dad in the past, you know, not being there, not emotional. He's 93, and I have had numerous experiences with him recently where basically, and I mean, not of my cognitively thinking I'm going to do this, but touching his shoulder, touching his face, you know, I love you. And it's like a God moment. It's like the total presence of being with somebody that I had never really experienced with my father. So I have a lot of gratitude. And I think, you know, in part from doing this work, it's helped to create that space.
Kind of two souls touching one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just the oddest thing to me. And I felt like that is what it feels like to really be present with somebody, because I have been so disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
In my life from people, you know, everything, I just kind of run through life. So it was really, I've had that experience now. I now know what it really feels like.
Beautiful. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Praying and wishing for all of you wonderful, wonderful new year. And we'll see you again next week, okay? Thanks, guys.
Okay. Namaste.
Namaste.
Good to see you.
See ya.
Happy New Year, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
everyone. Jerry.
Yes. Yes.
Cheers. I know. Okay.
Must be in there someplace. Thanks for that.